Thank you, Chad. It's a powerful expression of love for Jesus, isn't it? Thank you so much. I am so glad to be gathered in the name of Jesus with a room full of followers of Jesus and people who are willing to consider being a follower of Jesus. Jesus said that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And so I am delighted to make sure that you know that he is here. And let me tell you what my hope and my prayer is for your time here at English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have basically two goals. If you don't know that you are accepted in his family, we pray that you will know today. That you will leave this place knowing that he came and died on that cross that Chad sang about for you. And that it was enough. It was enough to take care of anything wrong you have ever done. Of anything that would make you feel separate from God or would in reality separate you from God. It was enough so that you would believe and know that he did it for you. That as you come to him acknowledging your own mistakes and sins, that he accepts you, he forgives you, and then he pours himself into you through his Spirit to give you a new life of victory. And in his word, he gives you a roadmap that tells you the times that we are in, that tells you the promises of his soon coming, and you have what you need to go from here all the way until Jesus comes safe in his kingdom by trusting in Jesus and giving your life to him. If you already know Jesus, our prayer is that you will be strengthened in your walk and your connection with him. That you will be strengthened by being with fellow believers who encourage you, just like the scripture says, all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Do you see the signs in the world around you that this world doesn't have that much left in it? I do too. Let's encourage each other. Let's enjoy our time together in the presence of Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us today. And I thank you that I have absolute assurance that you know each person here. You know the needs that they have brought, whether it's the need to know you as a loving Savior in the first place or the need for courage and strength to go on faithfully. I ask that each one, by the power of your Spirit and through the inspiration of your word, will receive you in the way that they need today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I am excited about the conversation that we get to look at today. Because as I look at what comes out in this conversation, I see the whole package of what is needed to go through all the times that this world will bring upon us and to faithfully hang on to Jesus and be ready for him to come in his kingdom. Does that sound good? That's what we're after. That's what I just said we're after, right? I hope that's what you're after too. Everything that we need, the whole package put together. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, at the end of the three angels' messages, it summarizes what it takes to make it through the very last great and fearsome tests of world history, as Satan unleashes everything he has to deceive people, to keep them from getting to Jesus, or to pull the people who know Jesus away from him. And it says that here is the characteristic of those who come through as conquerors, those who come through faithful and safe. It says, here is the patience of the saints, here are those who keep the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. I believe the conversation that we are going to look at today illuminates that powerfully. And the conversation took place in a home in a little town of Bethany in Judea. Some people think that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were probably wealthy, and they may have been. It may have been one of the nicer homes. It may have been a humble home. I don't know. But nonetheless, here is this home in Bethany where, and this is what always makes all the difference, where Jesus came. You can find it in Luke chapter 10. It's after the story of the sending out of the 70 all over Galilee to do ministry and to come back victoriously. It's after the great test that we already looked at where Jesus was asked about what the important commandments were and went on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then comes this story. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want you to notice, right from the start, something about Martha. What do you notice about Martha, right from the start, in this verse? Seriously, do you notice that in this verse? What I notice in this verse is that she welcomed Jesus. That's right. She welcomed Jesus. I don't know if he was passing by and she was out in front or if she had been where he had been teaching, but she welcomed him to her home. I'm not even sure if this is the beginning of their friendship that Jesus had with his family or if this is a step along the way in their friendship that Jesus had with his family. But she welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The story goes on. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." I'm not going to ask who you sympathize most with in this story. Come to think of it, I usually think of choosing between Mary and Martha, but I'm kind of feeling a little sympathy for Jesus, too, being pulled like this. But I'll tell you who I'm mad at now that I've studied this verse more thoroughly. Not that mad. I'm mad at the translators. I haven't looked at all Bible versions, but I haven't found the one yet that is fair to Martha. You want things to be more fair for Martha? Because a lot of you are familiar with this story, and when you see someone who's just too busy and stressed, and they're not that nice, and when you call them to prayer and Bible study, they're still working in the kitchen and that kind of thing. You say, "Well, she's a Martha," or you might even say, "He's a Martha," and so we're kind of hard on Martha. With the background, remembering who was it that welcomed Jesus into the home? Martha. This is not, by the way, just entirely a defense of Martha. I'm just trying to be fair. I want you to look at this word right here. They all say something like this: Martha was distracted with much serving. By the way, deacons and deaconesses, that's basically the Greek word is deaconing. She was distracted with much serving. I'm going to do this for you again. The word behind that's translated distracted, I won't even need to pronounce it for you. This is the only time it's used in the Bible. The only time it's used in the Bible, and do you know it's a compound word? Okay, I'll tell you the pieces. The prefix is peri, and that means around. Some of you in medical terms know the prefix peri, and periscope for looking around. The word means around, and then the last part is spao, which means to be dragged. The last part is the word that was used in the town of Lystra in the book of Acts when it says they dragged Paul outside the city to kill him. The last part, the spao, is the word that's used in Revelation chapter 12 when it says that Satan dragged a third of the stars out of heaven, representing the angels that joined him in his rebellion. So what this word means, you know, when someone's distracted, you kind of blame them, right? You say, "Come on, focus, focus. Get it together. Come on, attention right here. But this isn't what it's talking about, is it? This is not blaming Martha for not paying attention. It says Martha was pulled and dragged from every direction. Anybody can sympathize with that this morning? Being pulled and dragged from every direction? Being in a situation with responsibilities on you, with your own commitments to caring for people, and this one's asking for attention, and this is asking for your attention, and it's just you. Lord, can you forgive her for saying, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm just a little miffed at the painters, too. Because every picture that I've seen of this scene is painted with a scene of a room in a Palestinian house, depending on the era, depending on the artist, sometimes fancier, sometimes more plain and covered with dirt and mud and stone walls and things. And here's Jesus. In fact, I traced the silhouettes for Mary and Martha from one just like this. Here's Jesus sitting there with a beautiful expression on his face. He's teaching the truth about the Father lovingly. And here's Mary sitting at his feet. And it's just them in the room. Jesus, Mary, and then there's Martha holding a pot or something, trying to get things together. And Jesus gently talking to Martha. If you opened your Bible to Luke chapter 10, I would refresh your memory. In verse 38, it says, now it happened as, not he went, it's as they went. So now, what do you think of Martha? Being a person who cared for people, a person who had the gift of hospitality, do you think she singled out Jesus from among his traveling group and said, you come in, you all find somewhere else to eat, okay? There is no indication anywhere that I could find that Martha left all those guys hanging out in the street while she brought Jesus in to shelter and to feed him. So you know what I think? I think there was a roomful. I think there was a roomful, and Martha was trying, and they were all sitting there. And guess what everybody but Mary had in common in that room full of people? Most likely. Do you know? They were men. Jesus' disciples that were following him around were men. Peter, James, John, Mark, not Mark, pardon me. But anyway, all those guys there, at least 13 people in there, right? All of them in there, and Martha trying to do what she has to do to make sure everyone's cared for, has the water they need to drink, has, I don't know if they served hors d'oeuvres, I don't know what they did, but probably preparing for a meal to feed them and all of these things. And not only is Mary not helping, but if you know anything about society in those days, they were kind of very serious about what was for men and what was for women, right? And here with the rabbi, the men were listening to Jesus, and Mary was sitting with them, not helping, not doing what I'm sure they were all mutually convicted was women's work. We're getting past that now, and I think many of us are thankful for that. Are there any guys here who do laundry? Any guys who do laundry? Any guys who cook? Right on. Good. See, we're getting past that. But back then, it was much more clear. And Mary was with the men, and Martha was being pulled every which way to make sure everyone was taken care of. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Little background on Mary. you look at the other gospel narratives, and there are some issues that you might encounter working out the order that all the stories happen. Sometimes in some of the gospels they're organized more by theme, and others they're organized more chronologically. But in Luke, if you go back to chapter 7, you have a scene where Mary, in another one of the Gospels, is identified the one in this story. And this is the story where Jesus was invited to Simon's house, remember? And this sinner woman comes in and starts anointing his feet with expensive perfume. This is Mary. And people smell the perfume and they start criticizing her. The very host says in his heart, if he knew what kind of woman that is, anointing his feet, he would never let her do it. Is he really who he says he is? And I'm happy to tell you that Jesus gently reproved that host. And at the end of that story, he says, go, your faith has saved you, to Mary. He had told how much her sins were forgiven. He had told how much he had acknowledged, how much she was showing love because of her sense of all her sins being forgiven. Can you wonder that this Mary, who was also probably the woman who was thrown in front of Jesus, stood in front of him on trial? Remember, we talked about this conversation, for being caught in adultery. No wonder she wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible. No wonder she wanted to hang on his every word. She loved him so much because she had experienced his love, his kindness, his mercy. But still, Martha doesn't understand in this situation. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve, to deacon alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Another little insight. In case you think this is an aberration, in case you think this is a fluke in terms of Mary and Martha's personality, turn over to John chapter 11, where the story is told of the resurrection of Lazarus. And look over in, starting around verse 17, and see if you can see these same characteristics. And it's a little bit more remarkable, because as you may know, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of parallel each other. John is the gospel that's on a whole different agenda, follows its own line, focuses more on the concepts of who Jesus is and who the Father is. But here you see the same characteristics coming through between Mary and Martha. Verse 20, Jesus has been called and he finally makes it. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus, who is the brother of Martha and Mary, his dear friends, says, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, we got to catch verse 19. Let's just start in 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. This is Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was, guess what? Sitting. History repeats itself. She sat at Jesus' feet there, but Mary was sitting in the house. You see that? Martha is the person of action. Martha is the person who's trying to pull everything together so it goes properly and well. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I wonder who it was that sent the messenger to tell Jesus about Lazarus being dead. Can you figure that one out? I bet it was Martha. Because Martha was about making sure that what needs to be done gets done. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. And so Lazarus was sick. He needed Jesus, who had the power to heal him. And so Martha sent for Jesus. If you know the story, you know that Jesus, much to his disciples' surprise, didn't come right away. He kept on doing what he was doing. And they asked him for explanations, and he gave them some insight, but they still didn't understand. And now, 4 days later, here he is arriving. Martha had done her part, but Jesus had not done his part in the plan that she knew was needed in order to prevent Lazarus from dying. And so she said, Lord, nice that she started it with Lord. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And nice that she follows it up with words of faith. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She has her little words with him, but she opens the door for Jesus to continue to work. Was Martha a woman of faith? Martha was certainly a woman of faith. It will come out further as we keep on going. Now, it goes on. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Had Martha been paying attention to God's word and the teachings of Jesus? She may have done the work of caring and hospitality and serving people and everything, but she was a listener and a student as well. Maybe even while she was bustling around and being pulled in every direction, she was such a multitasker that she was taking it all in. You know, it reminds me one time in early teen Sabbath school, Mr. Westcott was leading. This story really has no place here, but since I've started it, I will finish it, and it's short. But Mr. Westcott was teaching, and I was a multitasker in that while I was listening to him, I could be talking to my friends as well. And he thought he had me. I think the subject was about Rahab, the woman inside of Jericho who helped the people of Israel and God saved. And so Mr. Westcott, while I was in the middle of talking to my friend, and he said, and what was her name? Bobby. I was Bobby then. And I said, Rahab. He said, well, you still need to be quiet. You're distracting other people. But I think Martha was the multitasker of all multitaskers. She could work, she could listen, she could do multiple things, keep track of multiple agendas, and she was doing that. So anyway, she was listening. She understood. And so Jesus said to her, after she said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said to Martha. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. One of the few people, while Jesus was alive on earth, who is recorded as saying this. You remember Peter said this. Martha said this. Great statement of faith in Jesus. She was a woman of action and a woman of great faith. And then she went on taking care of other people. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Well, John didn't hear him calling, did he? But Martha picks it up and knows that she's supposed to come, knows that she needs to hear from Jesus, sees her sister in her sorrowing, in her mourning, and you will see this develop and come out so clearly. That Martha was in control, and Mary probably wasn't. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. That's Mary. Now, Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, this is with Mary, and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her. Why didn't they rise up and follow Martha when Martha went out? Because Martha had things under control. Martha was on top of things, even at the death of her brother. They didn't feel like she needed it. Mary was evidently needy. And so they went up to accompany her, to be with her, and to continue to be with her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Do you really think she said it the same way that Martha said it? No. Martha was in control. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Same exact words. But I think Mary was sobbing. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," crying. "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping," it says it right there, "and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?'" Can you see? It's the same characters here. The same personalities. Martha taking care of everything that needed to be taken care of. Mary so personally moved and crushed based on losing her connection with her brother. Deeply longing for Jesus to fix things and wondering, personally hurt and wounded because he had not, and letting it show. So, after Martha's question, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You are Lord. Tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." Doesn't that sound like he's loving her? Not so much scolding her. "Martha, Martha." Does he say, "Why are you worrying about all this?" Does he say that? No. He simply observes. These are words of sympathy, words of empathy. He understands not just Mary sitting at his feet, drinking in all of his teaching, but he understands Martha, busy. And he's not commanding, and he's not reproving Martha. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." That word for troubled, the word worried is the same way where Jesus later on says, you know, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat or how you're going to be clothed." All these things that need to be taken care of, genuine needs, but seek first the kingdom of God. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled." The word there is the root word of turbulent. Just stirred up as you're being pulled around by all these things from all these directions. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part." Some translations say that better part, "which will not be taken away from her." Just one quick side note that I want you to notice here. Mary probably was the one caught in adultery, stood in front of Jesus, accused, put on trial before him. Did Jesus join her accusers? Did he? He did not join her accusers. A much more gentle situation here, in the safety of the home, but in a sense, didn't Martha put Mary on trial again? Did Jesus join her accusers? No, he didn't. I dare you to try and find in the Bible any place where people are accusing someone and Jesus joins in with them and affirms them in their accusation. I dare you to find that. That's a side note. That's not the main focus that we're taking today. But I dare you to find that. Mary's put on a little mini informal home trial again, and Jesus does not join her accusers. Because that's not Jesus' style. It's not the way. He delights in mercy. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Scandalous as it may have been, upsetting as it may have been, Jesus said, "Mary has made a good choice, and it will not be taken away from her." What was the choice that Mary made? Mary made the choice to drink in as much of what Jesus had to offer as possible, to not let a word drop to the ground, to not miss an inflection, a tone, any of his teaching and representing and showing the Father as he really is. Mary was not going to miss a thing because she loved Jesus. Her life had been turned around by Jesus, and she wanted to take as much as Jesus had to offer as was possible. She didn't want to miss a thing. And Jesus said, that will not be taken away from her. I tell you what, What do we choose? Shall we be Martha or shall we be Mary? What shall we choose? Well, you know what? My mama told me that when they tell you you can't have your cake and eat it too, they're lying. Those are her words, and I quote them proudly. When they tell you you can't have your cake and eat it too, they're lying. And I'm here to tell you, if you're trying to figure out, should I be more like Martha or should I be more like Mary, you can have your cake and eat it too in the name of Jesus. Let me read you something. This is super cool. Book Desire of Ages, page 525. There is a wide field for the Marthas with their zeal in active religious work, but let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be thrown out the window so that you can have a better devotional life. Is that what she says? No. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. Do you want that? Do you want to be an unconquerable power for good? Oh, people say disparagingly, there's people that are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. And other people are so caught up in things and busyness that they have no time for Jesus. You want to be an unconquerable power for Jesus? Have your cake and eat it too. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Open his word. Start your day out talking to him and listening and learning what he has to say through his word. Do it. And whenever you get a chance, do it again. Don't limit yourself to once a day. And then get about to do what he's called you to do. Because the word of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't simply call us into a state of being that we call saved. To exist in suspended animation until Jesus comes. If the whole point of the gospel was simply to give you the status of saved so that you would have a place in heaven, why aren't you there already? Soon as you believed, he wants you to do something here in this world. He wants you to make a difference for good. He wants you to, as he says over and over, Jesus' teaching in the Gospels, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to visit those who are sick and in prison. He wants you to be his messenger, to make disciples of all nations, so that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then he can come. This is what he wants. He wants you to sit at the feet of Jesus. He wants you to drink in everything you can of him. And then he wants you to go out, like he told that man that he delivered from the demons by the shores of Galilee, to go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. And to go and help people, to do good for people, and to show them the Jesus who has saved you. This is what he calls us to. And if we will do that, we are what? An unconquerable power for good. Keeping the commandments of God, doing everything he's called you to do, and the faith of Jesus, keeping a living connection through faith with him. Loving him like Mary and loving him like Martha. All of the above. Have your cake and eat it too. Do you want that? I'd like to have you join with me in a couple of verses of a good old hymn. Let me get that advanced. There we go. You ever heard this hymn? Such a beautiful hymn. And it's based on this experience of Mary sitting there with Jesus, drinking in his every word, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, sing it.
Oh, what words I hear him say. Happy people near so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past. For his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I'm waiting at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me, let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus, keep me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness.
Do you see that there? The song may be about Mary, but you notice it talks about spending that time with him, sitting at his feet, and then living that righteousness that comes from spending the time with him, that comes from seeking him and knowing him, the only way that you really have what you need to do what he has called you to do, loving him like Mary and loving him like Martha. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We're more aware than ever that we need you so much. It's so easy for us to go one way or the other, or no way at all, to live our lives without you, or to live our lives so busy working for my Jesus that I ain't got time to die even, or being so contemplative and ignoring the needs of others around us even as we think that we are drinking in your beauty and goodness. Oh, Father, let us be the whole package, and we can only do it through Jesus living in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I pray for anyone who feels that they couldn't even get in the door to sit at the feet of Jesus, that the beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ and the glorious power of his resurrection will sweep all doubts away, and that each one here today can know that through Jesus, every barrier is taken down. Our sins, our problems, our habits, any bitterness in Jesus is all taken down, and we are free to come to you through him and receive the gift of forgiveness and of eternal life and of power to live a new life. And Father, for all of us, please, starting right now, let the whole, still small voice of the Spirit call us into those special times with you every day. We can't make it without you. Please, let your Spirit break through whatever noise surrounds our life, whether self-induced or from the world around us, pulling us in every direction. Please, let your Spirit's voice make it through to our hearts, to speak our hearts to you, and to listen to your word for us. Thank you that everything we ask, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly, completely above. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you, if you want to make sure and don't have that assurance that you're accepted with Jesus, just make your way afterwards to this corner or this corner, and we have someone there. We will have someone there to talk with you and pray with you. May God be with you.